This is RSBNB Update, episode 326, recorded Friday, September 16th, 2011, Armadillo Massacre. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. It is episode 326. We are discussing big news this week relating to a quest. But before we do that, we'll introduce the panel who are here this week. First up is Trekkie, the one who I did the quest with.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
All right. I assume that silence is what you're expecting, since they can't reply to you. And second is my Canadian counterpart to the west of me, Kingala.
Hi, guys. I hope you're doing well. I know you can't answer me, but I'll expect you to anyhow.
That's something we'd like to fix in the future. More on that.
Yes.
This December. So, anyways, this week, one of the biggest storylines in RuneScape comes to a close. Sort of. Before we go on, I'd like to say that this is going to involve spoilers for those of you guys who have not done the quest, primarily because it's such a big quest, we want to talk about it, and what the results from it were, and where it could be going after that. It's just something we kind of need to do because it's such a big quest. I mean, if it was a smaller quest, we wouldn't exactly say the way it ended or something. But with this, I do feel it's necessary. So if you're not at all interested in that, you can just skip right on over to the RuneScape Classic, The Final Countdown, which will be in a few moments' time. Well, probably 10 minutes or so. But anyways, Ritual of the Majorat. Now, Kala, you are not a member and you don't have much of a background with the Majorat, I'm assuming, from when you were a member.
Not too much, but I know that they've been a big part of the RuneScape quest line, and that they've made for some pretty interesting quests, such as Desert Treasure, Temple of Sentistan, Golgothic Sleeps, of course, and a lot of the other ones, too. So, I mean, those are some pretty heavy quests, I'd say. So this one looks like it's a good one to finish off the storyline, as they say. Or maybe it won't.
Well, you know,
you never know.
We'll get to that in a bit, because that's up for interpretation, I think. But anyways, so let's first off start by stating the requirements. Most of these are quests that you just there mentioned. The Temple at Sentistan, Golgothic Sleeps, Haziel Cult, Inakra's Lament, The Slug Menace, Fairy Tale Part 3, Rocking Out, A Tale of Two Cats, and Fight Arena. You also need 77 agility and 76 crafting and mining as well. And you must be able to fight creatures of combat level 475.
Which is not that bad if you do it right.
Yeah,
except
so
for
we'll...
Shane, he got boned quite a bit.
No, I did not, actually. I did not.
Did he die?
I did not. No, I didn't.
He didn't die, but I heard him crying a little bit when his turtle died.
Oh. So you're saying your turtle died during a quest?
Yes.
Or was it a non-quest-related area?
That's an entirely different story.
We'll get into that later when we talk about it.
Yes, when we talk about the boss. But let's start from the top here. So this whole quest starts with us talking to Sir Tiffy and Varrock, Sir Tiffy of the Temple Knights series. It should be noted that Jagex classifies this quest as very, very long. Personally, I felt Golgothic Sleeps was longer. What about you?
To me, it felt like the same amount of time.
Okay. Oh, wow. Jagex even has a map about which trees to hide behind. We could have used that.
Yeah, but they had a map for that? Ooh, I didn't use any map.
They got a map.
We didn't use a map. We just hid behind any tree and we're just like, whack. All right, this is taking forever. They had so much health.
Yeah, basically what this is at the beginning of the quest, you need to head down to the area where the Berg de Rot, or not Berg de Rot, Mosla Harmless, the rum-making minigame. You need to head down to that area, Trouble Brewing, and find out what these strange fireballs are that are killing everything that's there. Ooh. So you need to evade these fireballs, and you say it was kind of like the Mario thing, right?
The what? The Mario?
Yeah, the Mario thing, how they would always throw fireballs at you or something or other.
Oh, I was saying that it was like the Mario game way back for NES, where you go into Bowser's Castle, and throughout the entire game, you have fireballs coming at you, but when you get to the end and kill Bowser or any of the fake Bowsers, there's nothing shooting. There's nothing there that would shoot the fireballs.
So the whole point of this is to find out what's going on, and what did we discover there when we got to the end?
We found some dragon people.
Yes, Dragonkin. The Dragonkin have made their appearance, which is what we'll get to later after the boss battle, because the Dragonkin are actually kind of upset about what's going on with the Majorat. So this is all playing into the quest storyline, and this is, of course, tying into the Ritual of the Majorat, which has been building up over all of the past quests in the future. So after that, it's just a matter of reporting back and then heading off into this plane that was attacked during what we think was the God Wars or something. They alluded to the God Wars, right?
Yeah. What they were also saying was basically primarily why they wanted... Oh, gee. Erase this whole part because I'm mumbling now.
I don't do editing for that kind of thing, so you're just gonna have to trudge on through it. But
can't remember what
it's
it
basically
was.
A destroyed plane that's burnt. It's got ash falling. So I don't know. Do you think we traveled to a different time, or do you think that place still existed?
I think that place still exists. I think what happened is probably like another dimension that Sarah Doman created to try and hide the stuff. It could have been a secret,
secret
castle
or something. Something that was unknown, because it is pretty ravaged by this. So the whole point of this is to put together a puzzle, find these keys to make a key to go into this dungeon underground. And then you get more information there, and you also get the Lunar Spell, which is allows you to tune Bane Ore, which we'll get to in the reward section. So this is primarily information gathering at this stage still.
May I also say that the rewards for this thing were crazy. They were all really, really high. You get some great new equipments and a couple of new monsters to fight.
It's also worth noting that you had to hunt down Bob the Cat in order to get his collar, because his collar has the clue about which fairy rings to dial. Dirax, which is D-I-R, then A-K-S, and you go to this plane. And this was released as a little hidden update back in June, so I actually went there. And you could do the agility shortcuts before, so it made me wonder if all the stuff was there previously or not. So, interesting, to say the least. Anyway, so after we went to the Kethsi plane, what did we do next?
Well, after that, we went to the wilderness.
Yes, we took this teleport up to the wilderness, because you will remember from the temple at Santistan quest, we had to go underground to where all those water fans are in order to get the heat orbs. So that's what we had to go down for there. And in doing that, we retrieved another heat orb to unlock this dungeon, where after the quest you can fight Glacors, which are, I think, level 465. And then this is the point in which the quest started to get really interesting for me, because with it, there was this cutscene in which we actually saw Sarah Doman rejuvenating Commander Zilyanya, which is the Sarah Doman guardian that we now see in the God Wars dungeon. So that's where the quest got interesting for me. And the cutscene was of superb graphics quality, probably the best graphics that we've seen thus far in game. I'd say it mirrored the trailer that was put out last December. So,
yeah, if you were watching it, it almost seems like a little RS movie going on your computer screen.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, and we also saw the Stone of Jazz in there, which of course means that, you know, this is what the quest is actually going to be about, the Stone of Jazz. And it comes into that, you know, I think from this point forward, we can just summarize that, yes, the Stone of Jazz is where this quest was going, and that was going to be a critical part of the ritual going on, because Lucian wanted to use the Stone of Jazz to become a god. So, after that, we just had to gather some more information, and then it really started taking shape that after that, the ritual was going to take place, and one of the Majorat did get sacrificed in this ritual, which was, I forget his name.
Jahal. Okay. I believe I can't pronounce his name correctly. He was the character that you found during the tale of Musqueam, where you find this Majorat who was hibernating in the stone. Lucian summoned him later on to use as a sacrifice as part of the quest.
Yeah, so, you know, this is, I think, the point in which the quest really started to ramp up. Would you say that as well?
It was the part, where you were either got really confused because, like, everybody showed up and you're like, wait, where does this guy come from? Or you were just blown out with how the graphics quality, if you were on everything super high and you saw the little cutscenes and everything else.
Yeah. So after this, it was just a matter of placing the beacons in place. What were the beacons for again? I think that was for them to teleport in, right? The forces, Tiffy's forces.
Mm. Well, the beacons that we got from as Anzandra from the dig site, they're actually used to store the powers of Zaros.
Oh, okay.
So this is what beforehand. I think the point of it was to kind of, we know Lucian was trying to use the Stone of Jazz to, you know, create a big ass army and rejuvenate himself. I think it was a way to try and capture some of that power or something like that.
Yeah, well, of course, that's what the whole idea is of the Stone of Jazz. I mean, we touched it ourselves during the quest, and that's how we got the almost 200 combat stats during the quest, you know?
That was funny.
So basically after this, there's four waves of battles. The first two, I'd say, are the hardest. The first one is the one that actually killed my war tortoise. I brought a war tortoise full of rock tail, and the war tortoise actually died because it was under attack by one of the ice demons. So, you know.
Yeah. And keep in mind, this whole time, Lucian is casting dark magic at you.
Yeah, so the key is, it's a pretty easy battle as long as you're moving around, because Lucian's dark magic spell will hit, I think anywhere between 110 and 180 life points or so.
And every half a second or so. So
yeah, it adds so you got to really keep fast. Moving. You got to keep moving around that. Then, so it goes ice demons, ice giants, and then after that, it's a much simpler quest, or a much simpler battle, since you actually have help from the Barrows brothers, and you have to fight these armored zombies that are there. So, and then after that,
The armored zombies were nothing.
Yeah,
easily ran around in a circle and let their brothers kill them.
Yeah. Then after that, it's just pretty much a task to lead Arav back to his heart, because Arav does make an appearance in this quest, in that he's just come out of his captivity or whatever, and he's so old, just has enough strength left for this one last battle, and he uses his power to help you in the end. So, and then after that, battle equals quest complete, the ritual has taken place, and that's pretty much it for the Majorat storyline, and the Majorat all go back off in their own separate directions.
Mm-hmm.
So, it What did you think? Was it worth waiting for however long we waited for it?
Oh yeah, the rewards of these things were completely insane, and you your money's worth if you did this. If you do this quest, you get. So you want to see the rewards now, or you want to do it?
Yeah,
later?
You get 380,000 experience lamps, so 240k total, 110,000 agility experience, 40,000 crafting and mining experience. Also, during the ritual, another Barrows Brother is created, so there's 7 Barrows Brothers now, and a new set of Barrows armor that you can use. So, you know, I'm not sure what the use of this Barrows armor is. I don't see it being the same use as Guffins or Darox's, you know? Because it just saps prayer. It doesn't give the prayer back to you, does it?
I think it does. It was sort of like Guffin.
Yeah, it's like Guffins except for prayer.
Yeah.
But... so. Does it give it back to you? I don't think it does.
The enemy saps the opponent's prayer points random, drains the prayer point on their...
Yeah, see? It doesn't say anything about giving it back. So, That's a question about that.
I thought it did. Oh, well.
I don't know. We'll have to find out on that.
It'll be good in Soul Wars when, you know, you have all those people running around. It'll be primarily PvP because nobody else is really going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, the whole set is roughly 10 million GP.
Maybe I should go do some Barrows. I haven't done Barrows in ages. But I think the main reward that most combat types are interested in are the Glacers, the things you can fight after the quest.
The Galcor. And don't forget the new staff that you can use, which we'll also get into the little glitch that happened around the world.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the boots that these things drop, then we'll go into the staff and its glitch. Basically, these boots have a higher range bonus than ranging boots, so ranging boots have taken a tumble on the Grand Exchange. Let's see, ranging boots are currently... I can't find them. What are they called? Ranging boots? Or Ranger's
range
boots.
Range boots?
Ranger boots? Ranger boots are currently 24 mil, dropped 1.3 million GP in the last 24 hours. So, these new boots do have a higher ranged bonus, so I think it's safe to say that people that do want a ranged attack bonus will be using these boots rather than the Ranger boots.
And also keep in mind the other two boots give better stats than Dragon boots. So they'll be replacing Dragon boots really, really fast. And considering they are cheaper than range boots anyway, a lot more people will be buying them.
And that's good because, you know, this is a level 400 plus creature. And the things that have dropped these good boots before have been relatively mid-level range. So I think it's good that it's another high-level update for combating garnering items. So anyways... Armadale Battlestaff, go.
Armadale Battlestaff. All right, so after you complete this quest, you unlock a new area, and one thing you can do is, when your friend is Galcor, they can drop Armadale Shards. If you grab 100 of these Armadale Shards, you can create Armadale Runes, and sooner or later you can actually create an Armadale Battlestaff, which enhances the power of Storm of Armadale. Now, what this spell does is, I can't remember how much damage thing does.
It was pretty high.
Let me check the manual real quick. So, it requires 77 magic to use Storm of Armadale, and you must have the Armadale rune to cast it.
And Armadale runes are made by putting these Armadale shards together.
Mm-hmm. And grinding. You're supposed to... I believe you grind them with the Pestle and Mortar first and then go to the Air Altar.
That's right.
And they turn into, with 74 RC, 74 rune crafting, you get the Rune of Armadale. So, other than dealing damage, it also guarantees to decrease the opponent's defense by 1 for every cast that hits. With the Battle Staff, the speed increase to increase... where you hit every 2.4 seconds instead of every 3. And also gives you 15% magic damage. Magic damage bonus. So, one of the problems that happened with this thing, that I'm sure many people also already have heard about was the Little Armadale Massacre that happened around the wilderness and around the world. Like way back when with the Faladorian Massacre many, many years ago, Jagex once again released a spell that could be cast in and out of the wilderness. So while, you know, people who die outside of the wilderness, they have a gravestone, which hopefully they can get their stuff back. Many people died in the wilderness in single combat areas because they'll have one guy get that guy's skull, and then suddenly there's like five people casting Storm of Armadale on that one person and completely wipe him out.
Oops. You know, it's just typical JX fashion, really.
Mm.
You know, these kinds of things wouldn't go through a developer's mind to test or even a QA tester, because people who test software and bug test things aren't in the mindset of doing something that is absurd, like something a user wouldn't do. They're not going to try and do these odd kinds of things. I know this is something you guys probably do, because when you guys were bug testing RuneWire 3, you missed about half the bugs that were found.
Yeah, I think we're pretty bad bug testers. Me especially.
So in any case, you know, this kind of stuff happens, and it's a little bit funny, and I kind of forgive Jagex for it. It's not as though that it could have been anticipated, so...
And also, you know, not trying to say anything bad about people who lost their stuff. You were in the wilderness, you risk what you brought, and it sucks that you end up getting, you know, ganged up by a bunch of people, but in a way, this isn't not even close to as bad as the Falador massacre many years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, with that one, people quit the game because they lost their party hat going to Tavern, and, you know, they woke up the developers like 2 in the morning. It's like, you got to come to the store. You got to come work now. And, you know, within 4 hours, they fixed this thing, while the other Faladori massacre was there for like, a whole week? Before someone decided to just go around on a rampage and kill everybody with Ice Barrage and all that stuff.
Keep in mind, that was also over 5 years ago now. They've gotten a lot more staff now to devote.
Yeah, that was 2006, and when construction came out. So that was a more understandable and widespread, because construction was a big engine update. But yeah, something that is just a weapon, you know, really shouldn't have the ability to do that. There should be a set way to program in each weapon, and that should have its own set of characteristics. So, I don't exactly... Like, if a weapon is single combat, it should be single combat. Not just hit everything or allow multiple people to hit.
Hit all of the things.
Yes. Yes, just like when I bang my desk sometimes, that Trekkie hears. When he forgets to research blue flame helions.
That was one time, man. I was like, oh, I swear I did it. I swear I did.
So, before we...
Oh, helions. I wasn't sure what you were talking about there. I'm like, blue flame helions. What are helions?
Yeah, we all kind of realize that he would be thinking of something else anyway.
That's right. I forgot that Shane mispronounces all of the units in StarCraft 2.
Yeah. Benelli's. Okay, so what's next on the topic?
Three quest points. Three quest points.
Oh, and you three get an at the end of the quest, if you go back, you can speak to Arav. Arav? How do you pronounce it?
Yep, Arav.
No, something like that.
You can speak to that dude again and get an extra 3K prayer points, and he'll finally be able to rest in peace. And it also, this whole quest actually opens up a whole other quest line.
Yes, that's what we're gonna talk about right now. Because even though that the Majorat ritual is done and the Majorat have all gone on their separate ways, and we didn't mention we hid away the Stone of Jazz. You, Tiffy, and somebody else. Who was the other person?
Oh, that Tisadori guy, the druid guy at the end?
Yes, that's right. Him, you, and Tiffy. hide away the Stone of Jazz by each having kind of a piece of the key about where it is far underground, so it will never be used again. So, in a way, that is tying up the whole Majerat storyline, because Majerat and Lucien wanted the Stone of Jazz to be powerful. And they're not going to get that anymore, so they're just basic Majerat. I mean, we might see some Majerat terrorist attacks or something, but nothing else. So, but this did open up the whole line about the Dragonkin. The Dragonkin are the actual owners of the Stone of Jazz.
Whose actual power comes from the stone itself. Lucien yes. actually used the stone for him, used the power of the stone to fulfill his own dream of taking over RuneScape. The Dragonkin, the stone itself, is theirs, and it's their power source. It's their power source. Basically, like, they're part of it. They're part of the stone. And I also add, they're badass.
Yeah, it's just like Lucien, just like Lucien Bouchard wanted to take over Canada when he was opposition leader.
Sure, no idea who that is. Okay.
Lucien Bouchard. Oh. Shane and his obscure Canadian politician knowledge.
So, the Dragonkin are coming. That's where we're headed next, obviously. Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. I think what we're going to do, soon, like, they're probably looking for the Stone of Jazz now, and what I'm assuming is that either Theorisk or Sir Tiffy is going to get captured by them, and we have to rescue them. Sooner or later, they get all three and try to get the stone back. And then we have this whole thing of, are they good? Are they bad? Should we help? Should we not?
And, you know, they are rather mysterious, and I don't think there's anything in the RuneScape lores about the Dragonkin.
Well, as of right now, only thing we really know about them was they're more intelligent dragons than what we have right now, and they are indeed very powerful.
And they can
fly. Yeah. And not to mention that they kill Lucien with some, you know, kung fu kicks.
Kung fu kicks.
Yeah, don't you remember in the cutscene near the end? So
no, I didn't. I'd like to watch that again. I was probably too busy planning for the battle.
So here, in a nutshell, of what happened in the ritual through the entire quest is, Sir Tiffy asked you to go to Moss Harmless to try and find out what's going on. You find the Dragonkin who are talking about the Stone of Jazz. You go back to Sir Tiffy and they tell you to. We have to find the Stone of Jazz first. And when that happened, we went to the wilderness. We got we talked to Bob and we found the portal and the globe of heat.
Yep, the heat globe from underneath and the ring of visibility from the desert treasure find where the Stone of Jazz is in that dungeon where the glaciers are after the quest.
Mm-hmm. So after that, you go down to the ritual site and you find the Stone of Jazz. Lucien comes up and says, you're not going to win this. And this is where basically all the quest lines kind of come together, because what happens is there are actually two sides of the Majerat. You have the ones who are still faithful to Zaros, and you have the one who's loyal to Zamorak. Lucien, I believe, was loyal to Zamorak. Am I correct?
I don't know. I think so.
It's either Zamorak or Zaros. I can't remember which.
So he was loyal to I think it was Zamorak. And so what happened? So you're there, Shadiffy's there, and all the other ones, they're fighting each other. And throughout, so you're in you're in three major battles trying to stop Lucien from really consuming the power of the stone. Well, what happened at the end, and while we are busy fighting, he actually manages to kill one of the other Majerat, Shahal.
Yeah, the one that needs to be sacrificed for the ritual to happen.
And the ritual happens, and what happened is that the power from the stone and the sacrifice rejuvenates every single one. So you actually notice that their face change. It looked kind of like a what's that villain from Fantastic Four with the steel face thingy?
I don't know. I don't watch superhero looks movies. Like,
he looks like that guy, but. And so after that, Dragon King come over and say, "Hey, you guys, Lucien lied to us. You don't deserve to use the stone," and they managed to kill him. So now you still have the two sides of Majora, and some of them leave. But what happens is one of them actually tries to turn you into a Barrow's brother, but someone decides to intercept the spell before it hits you. After everybody has left, after everybody has left.
And that becomes a new Barrow's brother.
Right. Well, Barrow's sister.
What?
Barrow's sister.
Well, she is a girl. She's a girl, dude.
Really?
The new one's, the seventh one's a girl.
I couldn't tell.
How could you not tell? She was wearing a dress.
I can never tell what gender people are in RuneScape. I mean, you got Carl and Varrak wearing skirts.
She had a chest. You can see the cleavage.
Oh, I thought you said a dress.
Yeah, she was wearing a dress during the fight. So, okay. Come on, Shade. Put two and two together. I know you haven't touched girls in three, and you know, in what, 15 something years, but come on.
Okay. But, all right.
So that person became the new Barrow's brother, sister, and you go and you, Sir Tiffy, and Theoris decide to hide the Stone of Jazz somewhere obscure in the depths of the earth of RuneScape. So then you go back to Sir Tiffy and you kind of go like, you're sad because, well, you actually lost a lot of good friends in that battle, and there's nothing you can do. They made the ultimate sacrifice to make sure that, you know, evil would not. However, now.
Yep.
What we don't know is whether the Dragon King on our side or what agenda they have.
Well, I don't think the Dragon King can be on our side, because at the end of the quest, before you get the quest complete, there's a cutscene of you walking through Draenor. As you said, the memorial, everybody that's perished in this quest and Wel'Gothic Sleeps, I mean, Duradel and the other Slayer Master are there. And as you get through the end of Draenor, you see these Dragon King and they start burning the place on fire. Then the quest ends, of course. But then once you return to the real world and make your way to Edgeville, Edgeville is burning. So Edgeville has been attacked already. So with Edgeville being attacked, I don't think we're that far out from seeing the beginning of a Dragonkin storyline. That'll maybe be later this year or next year, early next year at the latest. I mean, I can't see them leaving Edgeville burning for that long.
Mm. So. At some point, it has to turn to ash, right?
Yeah, actually, exactly.
The funny thing, if you talk to anybody in Edgeville, they're all oblivious to the fact that a house just burned down.
Like, yeah.
Which
is another matter of consistency, because everything else in Edgeville you say is the same. So, I don't know. I think they could have done that a little bit better.
When I talk to people, they're like, "Oh, how you doing? Nice to see you." I was like, "Your house just burned down." "No, I didn't."
But, maybe they're being brainwashed.
So, you know, if we go through, in a nutshell, what happened with the whole Majora series was the very first one was Temple of Icove when Lucia had you try and steal the Staff of Armadale. Later on, during the Tale of Marsqui, you find Jahal in hibernation. He asks you to try and find a place for him to hide. So you know that it. A lot of power. Thank you, Shane. I think next one, I believe the next one in the series was Defender of Varrak, where Zamurogal, who sided with Lucien, he attacked Varrak hoping to, you know, buy Lucien some time and, you know, try and get a foothold into the city. After that, we did Wel'Gothic Sleeps. You actually fight Lucien while he's trying to create a giant army, and that is where you find the Stone of Jazz for the very first time. And you also meet
Mavario.
There we go. Sounds like Mario. Mavario during Wel'Gothic Sleep. who's kind of in charge of the elite black armor people. And after that, you get the temple of Sensation, where you meet Azada, who finds a way to open Azahandra.
Yeah, something
who
like
opens
that.
A communication portal to speak to Zaros himself. So yeah, I think Lucian was working for Zamorak. So basically, what happened during this whole quest line was you're really just stalling. You find out more about the Majora, and you're also from doing what he wants to do until today.
Yeah, and you know, this was all conveyed back in the June developer diary, courtesy of Paul, who wrote about this and said that, yes, this is where the quest is going, and it had to come this way. And initially, it didn't. It was just going to be a basic quest, but everything else started happening, and he had to work everybody else's storylines into it, and somehow it all just meshed together to create, well, Guthix Sleeps and ultimately this quest, so.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, good quest, yes or no?
Oh, yeah. It was fun at the end. Battles were relatively very easy compared to everything else.
Yep, that's true. I'm going to agree with you and say that, yes, if you have all the requirements, go out and do this quest today. It's a quest that I think is going to be remembered.
It's not really hard. The battles were relatively easy if you pray right and just dodge those attacks from Lucian.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be one of those quests that you remember doing, such as, like, all the other major milestone quests. It's not just a basic quest, so definitely do it if you can. And, you know, I think this would be a good quest to make a RuneScape movie out of.
They kind of did make a RuneScape movie out of this, if you look at the cutscenes and the quality.
But I mean, like, a real movie with actual actors.
JackX does not have the brain power to do that.
Not just that. I don't think it's the brain power. I think it would be the financial capabilities, but I mean also the fact that people would get turned off if they knew they would be going to like a RuneScape movie, you know.
No, they could probably
turn it into something like based on the lore and the stuff happened.
What I think they can also do is maybe do like a mini animated series like they do with Halo all the time. That can work. Not the first time people have done RuneScape movies. One most famous one way in the past was a Half a Decade War, which was actually really good. And those who remember it, you're lucky because it's almost impossible to find that video anywhere.
So do this quest. We did go kind of long-winded, but of course that is something that should happen on such a quest of this magnitude because it really is a good quest and culminates so many storylines together, wraps it all up, and sends it off in a new direction for the future.
And may I also add, you get a much safer way of killing Iron Dragons.
You could do that after just a temple at Sentistan, though.
Yeah, but this one makes it a little bit easier. You have all the... Well, you have
the rope tree. Mm-hmm. Okay, I see.
Before you had to go through a cave and all that stuff, now you have the faster way of getting through.
Yes. All right. Next up, RuneScape Classic, the final countdown.
You know how you said that would take like 10 minutes? It definitely didn't take 10 minutes.
That always happens, Kula, and you were quiet most of the time anyway.
That was true. But I was listening to you guys, and it did sound like a great quest.
But get members already, you stupid noob.
Yes, I should start up RuneScape again. Because I'm missing a lot, apparently. But it sounds like it was like the best update in the last while. Would you guys agree?
Definitely the best quest of 2011.
Well, in terms of what you see, yeah, I would agree with that. But I don't know, I kind of liked the last quest a little bit, even though the boss fight was completely horrid. I seriously won by the skin of my teeth.
If you sign up, I'll give you some rock tails. This quest storyline.
Oh, well, thank you, Shane.
Keep in mind, Kula, that I spent the week catching them for Shane.
Oh, yes.
All right, so moving back on track to RuneScape Classic, the final countdown, this is now the I would assume the last time you can go into RuneScape Classic, if you have not already.
Yes. So if you're a member and you've not logged into RuneScape Classic before, you have until September 29th to do so. And once you do that, you will open your account to be able to play Classic. So if you're a member and you've not done this, you should log into RuneScape Classic to see how things were back in the olden days. I personally was a relatively low-level player back in Classic, and it wasn't all that pleasant. So you two both started in RS Classic.
Yes. Long time ago.
In a galaxy far, far away. So many lunch hours wasted in that game.
So many lunch hours? I mean, like, all of after school before we went to sleep. Mornings before going to school, you know?
I actually did that once for the Halloween drop. But we actually got backlash for that by Andrew, but that's a whole other story. but the other thing that also happened with this, you get to listen to RS and its old whipping sound effect. And the massive clicking.
That's when they actually were MIDI music.
They didn't make music in RSC. You just had to.
No, I mean like the sound effects were MIDI back then.
Is the sound effects in these in the new quest even better, or the music?
Yes. They're better? Not MIDI music. Yes.
So the graphics are getting better. The music's getting better. The sound effects are getting better. Are we going to finally see the modernization of RuneScape?
Yeah, you know, if you were to log in, that's one thing you'll notice since last time you played, is that the game truly has improved from what it was even 2 years ago, all through little graphical updates here and there. So,
Oh, and may I also say that if you're playing RuneScape Classic, you're gonna, if you actually do Herblore, you may actually like that system better than the system now. Remember
why
those
that?
Days, Kula? Remember when you had to when you last heard?
I was never a member in Classic before, so I don't actually remember.
Back, you know how when you're identifying herbs, you go one, you click on every single one.
Yes.
Well, back then, you basically have all the herbs that are the same, and you fill the entire inventory. You click on the very last herb, like way at the bottom right, and it'll identify every single one. All you gotta do is just mass click. You don't have to go one by one or anything. Let me check on my RuneScape Classic. I know I'm like 80 something. Let's see.
Okay. Just one more thing I want to mention in relation to this, aside from all the reminiscing here. Do you think it's right that people who just signed up and got members last week are able to log into RS Classic and get the Classic Cape and Emote when somebody who created their account in 2001 gets the same thing? I personally don't agree with that.
Well, in my opinion, the whole veteran cape thing is kind of... It's not really a veteran cape, it's when you get lucky cape. Because it doesn't really show how long you really play, it just shows that, oh, you went in there, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I just don't like the idea of that. I think that that could have been done a better way by people who actually had accounts and levels before Classic went in. I mean, surely there had to be some kind of tracking about what skill levels you had back in RS Classic. So,
yeah,
that's
well,
just my thoughts
that,
on
that. Well, since they've closed it down, I think what they should have done is kept the one server for the older people that have been playing Classic like all that time. Open it up again and create the new server that you're basically locked to. So then all the older RuneScape Classic players that were doing it, playing on that one before, they'd be on one server, then the newer batch on another server, and then this newest batch on another, you know?
Well,
that way that way it keeps it the way it was.
Well, to be honest.
On the older server, you know?
To be honest, I honestly believe that most of the people on RSC back in the day were bots.
That's like, probably true. But
you know,
then
you could say that about RuneScape in
you
general.
You could say that about this one right now, you know?
So true, but then I would say there were a lot more bots. It was funny because when RS2 came out, I popped my head into Classic every once in a while, and it's actually funny when you start locking people indoors and which is a lot easier to do back then.
Anyways, right, let's see. So RuneScape Classic is active. Go log in, and there you go. Just a couple of community notes here as we move along. First up, some winners. The Citadel screenshot winners have been announced. That's the Clan Citadel screenshots, of course. I'm not going to read the names. You can find that in the notes. And they say the pictures are on the RuneScape Facebook page, but there is no specific album for Clan Citadel screenshots, which is, you know, kind of bad organizing on Jagex's part.
Yeah, it's great how they just redirect us to the page and not to, like, the actual pictures, you know?
Yeah, Shane, yep.
You want to listen to good old classic battle sounds?
No, let's not. Really let's quick. Just go on here. To the...
That does sound... I remember that sound.
That does sound kind of authentic.
Oh, I am not hitting this guard at all.
I remember the weird screeches here and there.
Oh, and that screech was running away.
I should get members just to log into Classic again and try it.
I'm a noob right now with the Legends Kate wearing full myth at level 84.
There you go.
I don't think my King Kula account actually was ever on RuneScape Classic, because I had a few beforehand that I eventually forgot the passwords to, and then I couldn't log into them again for some reason. But yeah, I think I'd be starting from scratch if I went back.
Yeah, you probably would. Probably would. Anyways, RuneFest trip winners. Not us, unfortunately. So there's a huge list of them. I did not actually get around to sending the postcard in. I should have. We all should have.
It's not exactly a huge list. There's only 10 of them.
Okay.
Well, to celebrate 10 huge. Years. Well, 10 isn't huge.
Well, that is. I mean, it's not something Jax would have done a long time ago. It's probably something new for them.
It is something quite good, though.
Raw, Perfect 99, Defy My Fate, Sword King 654, Kyled 195, Talonith, Angels Fat Cat, Timmy 9, Viren 0, and Ralphie 64.
I like the name Talonith. That's the only name out of them that I actually like, you know, because it doesn't have numbers, it isn't a whole bunch of words smashed together, and it's unique, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to get
rid of
it. It's
not like some throwaway thing like Shane 1288 or something like that.
Or some random string like J1, J2, J3.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whatever.
So, questing weekend for all. If you are listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, you can go questing. This is the organized questing weekend. So, if you've not done your quest, now's a good time to find a friend and do some quests. So they're saying like-minded buddies.
This new quest too, you know.
Well, exactly. Like-minded buddies to take on any quest they are stuck on, including Ritual of the Majorat, which a whole host of people will be puzzling, jumping, and battling through. Alrighty. Epic 5v5 tournament winners. So we'll remember that this is the 5v5 tournament that was set up using Clan Wars way back when. Basically, a whole bunch of these teams were put together, and now we have a winner. And this winner is going to RuneFest. Final battle between New Beginning and Fatal Death. Fatal Death was victorious. And get this, they'll shortly be teleported to RuneFest main stage for the fight of your lives. So they'd better get ready. Fatal Death's Austin Frube had this to say about the upcoming Claddagh. I laugh at the thought of losing to the JMod team. It will be the battle of a lifetime. Tough words, Austin Frube. Tough words.
Yeah.
Words.
You know what I would say? I would say Jagex Moss would kind of skew the rules and then unleash a whole new magic spell completely annihilates everybody with one hit.
Yeah, they could do that. But you know what? What I think would be a better way to do this is find an open field close to the RuneFest venue and put them all out on an actual battlefield and see how that goes.
Yeah, and dress them up in like the RuneScape costumes, you know, like the one.
Yeah, like all the armor and everything.
And then you know what Dragon's Mods would do? You know what the Dragon's Mods would do, right?
What?
Oh yeah, they'd bring out something completely different and a new weapon made out of cardboard, and they would, you know, they'd wipe the field with it.
They'll bring out a medieval gun,
like the cow mangler.
What?
The cow mangler? Yeah, the cow mangler 5000 from TF2.
Oh. Okay.
Anyways, so that'll be happening at RuneFest. Last piece of news is a reminder that the Golden Gnome Video Award results are coming this coming Monday. Monday, September 19th, the Golden Envelope will bring you finalists for Best Use of Sound, Best Use of FX. On Tuesday, it's turn of Best Storytelling, Best Voice Acting, and Funniest Video. Then on Wednesday, RuneFest will announce the finalist of a surprise bonus category. Oh, yes. Then finally, on Thursday, everybody will don tuxedos as we announce the three finals for Best Overall Video. All three will be boarding trains or planes and showing up in person at the live GGVA ceremony at RuneFest 2011. But only one of them will win the GGVA, and to make that decision, we need you, our thirsty community. Voting will start very soon. Oops. Trusty community. Voting will start very soon and will continue right up to the GGVA ceremony itself. Then they have a little video here showing Mark Gerard that was sent in. Mark Gerard in bed, apparently.
What was that?
So this is basically just a video that's got Mark Gerard making his way throughout RuneScape as a cutout and everything, so...
Yeah. With great music at the beginning here.
We'll have to watch that later, but...
I love what the guy says. He's like, bonus category, best use of Mark Gerard in the video.
Yeah, you know, there'll be some people that will argue that Mark Gerard himself is his actual best use, is to be a paper cutout in the video, given the current situation of RuneScape and everything.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is, but anyways, you guys can watch that video on your own time. And I guess that's it for RS updates. That kind of makes up for last week's, I guess.
Well, last one was bonus weekend, so...
Yeah, exactly. Last week was very short, so... Anyways, we're going to move on to the questions right now. We got five of them this week, so we're going to start off with a simple question from a fellow named Danny.
Shane gets the first one.
What's your guys' favorite type of sandwich? Come on. Okay, I'm done. Bye!
I like that. Short and sweet.
Yeah, it's a nice contrast compared to R.R. Man and Sorensen. But
no comment.
Favorite sandwiches?
I like grilled ham and cheese. Sandwich, that's really tasty. And add in bacon in there and it just tastes wonderful.
Good thing I'm not hungry.
No, yeah.
Trekkie, you got a favorite sandwich?
Chicken ranch. You get a slice of grilled chicken, throw in a little bit of onions, tomatoes, and a little ranch dressing. Heat it, toast it up to medium, and I swear you'll love it. Bless your Shane. I think he hates I have a feeling Shane hates onions.
No, I like
onions. I thought it would be the ranch dressing that would get him.
Yeah, I can't stand ranch dressing if it's warm.
But it's not really warm. It's just... Actually, it's not that much ranch on it anyway. But it's not like salad dressing ranch. It's just a ranch dress. It's just a ranch dressing that this company makes a part of the sandwich thing.
Okay. As for me, I just either some basic white
sandwich.
White turkey breast meat with a decent amount of pepper. That's pretty simple.
White bread?
I use whole wheat for my sandwiches. I find it doesn't stick as much to my teeth.
Whole wheat is always...
Getting applause for that.
Because whole wheat is good and healthier.
Yeah.
Alternatively, tuna with, as Trekkie said, some onions chopped up into it and some parsley.
No celery?
No.
No cucumber?
Like no. Oh, cucumber. Mm.
Just basics.
Insert Homer drool.
All right, that was a nice and simple question. Yes, it was. All right, next one is from RR Man and Sorensen 57. We did chop this down a bit just because your intro is the same every time, so keep that in mind for going forward that we should try and shorten it up just a tiny bit if you can.
You know, keep it short and sweet.
And we know you guys are terribly...
It's been a long time.
Yes. We know that you guys are very, very creative, so it's good to keep something new. Make something new each time you make up a question, right? That is my tactful and cheerful way of replying.
Yeah, you want to pull an Earth and make him make him laugh so much that he can't stop laughing, even when we play the question for the second time during the show.
I agree. And it isn't hard to keep me laughing, to be honest, because I laugh at everything, trust me. I'm even laughing right now, for no reason.
Okay. Well, I'll play the question.
On to the question.
Boo.
Bang! I know, it's been a long time, but I want to bring up one of your favorite topics, Shane. Farming. I'm just kidding. I'm here to talk about Nomad. Shane and guests, I'm just wondering, have you defeated Nomad? If so, which method did you use? Did you go for the Kayet? Did you tank him out? Or were you just beast and just do it anyway? Now over to you, Urman.
Alright Shane, I want to talk to you about something that's a little naughty. I can imagine that your parents told you that it was a bad thing, they sheltered your life from it, they hid it from you at every chance possible. I want to talk about alcohol. Have you ever even tried it? And if so, what was your favorite? I just want to say, you can enjoy alcohol without letting it control you. It is possible, Shane. So if that's the reason you think it's a bad thing, yeah, it is possible to enjoy alcohol without even getting drunk, actually, is my point there. If not, anyone else who's on the show, could you also answer the question, what's your favorite?
Myself, I like a large Midori with a splash of lemonade.
Well, that's just because you're a huge fan of melons.
Well, I'm not going to deny that I do love a good pear. What about you, Armin?
Yeah, I'll have a go every once in a while, but I like to have a rum and coke or something like that.
Even mix it up.
And with that off our chest, I think we're done. Goodbye. See ya. This is RR Man signing out.
Adios. My name is Asana 57.
Why the word are they laughing near the end?
I think because he tried to be Spanish. But he just couldn't get past the fabulous New Zealand accent. I especially love the word guests. Guests.
I think you're the only one.
Nomad. Nomad. Let's talk about Nomad first, shall we?
Neither of you guys have done Nomad, have you?
No. I've been putting it off because I've just been doing too much SC2, trying to get myself out of gold. I haven't touched it. I haven't touched that quest at all. You are the only one.
It took me lucky 13 tries. So that was when it came out. What did I do? I did not do Rocktails. What I did is I just used Ceridomen Brews and Super Restores and a Tortoise for the first part of the quest, or for the first part of the battle. And then once all my supplies in the Tortoise were gone, I dismissed the Tortoise, and I think I went off to a Fire Titan or something like that. And then, so the Fire Titan helped with that. And for the first part, it was a combination of Diamond and Ruby Bolts, while keeping, of course, to avoid his special attacks and whatnot, which, as you probably know if you've done the quest, is really hard to do because you are dealing with the server legginess that is involved with the way RuneScape works, unfortunately, as Trekkie knows from the Firewatch quest. So
that was because I was on your world. After I switched,
yeah,
I was...
well, after that part with the ranged bolts, I just went to basic melee for the second phase, in which he was just melee, so that's when it got a whole lot simpler. So that's pretty much what I had to do, and it was just a gradual tweaking and refining of it all the way through. And that was with overload potions as well, and that did help me because, you know, as your overload runs out, it restores your health. So that is something to keep in mind, that I had that going for me as well. I think it would have been a little bit easier back then if I would have had Turmoil and Soul Split, which I did not. So that's what I did for Nomad. And for anybody out there who is going to do Nomad, I would highly recommend the Bolts and Brew Restore combo. That worked pretty well for me.
Okay, then. So I guess since I highly doubt Kula did that quest, second part, Shane. Actually, second part, Kula, what's your favorite beer?
Well, actually, I have to be really lame and say that I'm actually closer to Shane on this one than the majority of most teenagers out there. Yeah, I actually really don't like alcohol. I don't really like the taste or the smell of it. So, I try not to do it. And my friends and I are pretty much alike in that sense. I've got one friend that Shane knows that does like his alcohol, but I don't know, the rest of us don't really drink, so yeah. There are ways to have fun without it, I think. But
yes,
yeah,
I completely agree with you there.
I don't look down on people that do like it and that do have fun with it. Just as long as you don't become drunk and an ass, you know? But, I mean, everything in moderation, right? But, yeah, no, I don't really drink at all, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately. That's probably good, probably good for my health, but, you know, unfortunately for your opinions of me. What about you, Trekkie?
Asians cannot hold their liquor. Enough said.
That's probably true. The Asian I know can't hold his liquor either.
See?
Shane, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I do now.
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Boy.
So, I'm going to say pretty much the same as a color there. I don't see myself doing it. I never have. Primarily just because I don't see the point. I don't see why you need to drink a substance in order to enjoy yourself more or be a part of a scenario that might be more enjoyable if that was an add-on. I hope you know where we're coming from on that. I don't think it's
something
that'll ever change for us, no.
I think it's a personal choice, you know, and I think part of it does come from Shane's sheltered lifestyle, but I mean, I really haven't, so I mean, I get all the jokes that he doesn't, so I mean, it's for me, it's just I don't really need it at all, you know, and I don't really like it, so I don't do that, you know, but and which makes me strange in a sense with all my peers, but there
well,
we are.
Shane, let me ask you this quick question: do your parents drink once in a while?
No.
No? Really? Grandparents?
No. Yes.
Huh. Grandparents? Your sister? Sneaking alcohol every once in a while?
Actually, no.
You never know.
My dad enjoys a glass of wine every now and again, you know? But...
Does he make it himself?
Yeah, he does, actually. He does make it himself.
Okay.
And I think he enjoys
that. I hope he washes his feet while he's stopping the grapes.
Oh, he doesn't do that. Like, he selects all the grapes and stuff, and, you know. But he doesn't do that, though. And you know, he doesn't become, like, you know, the crazy grape lady. Remember that video where the lady was stomping grapes and then she fell over? That was, like, one of the oldest viral
grape
videos.
Stomping lady who fell on her face. Then something, 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 something. It's been so long.
See, this illustrates the whole point there. I mean, Trekkie doesn't need alcohol to enjoy himself there, but just what he's doing. We don't need it to be.
No.
Have our laughs when we're doing the show or anything, you know?
We're drunk on life.
We're drunk on rice.
Yeah.
So, shall we move on to the next question?
Yes, go ahead, Trekkie, read it.
All right. Dear Shane and other hosts. Oh, you had to give me this one, didn't you? What are your feelings on the candidates that are announcing that they are running for the United States presidency? And on politics, thoughts on Obama's approval rating? Thanks, Magic. Mage Guy 08. Do I have to? Because I'm going.
Trekkie, you start first because you're actually an American.
Yes, that's true.
Rick Perry sucks, and that's all I'm going to say.
That's all? That's the only person you think that sucks?
Hey, you know what? He's the only, I don't think Mitt Romney has a chance. And only one liberal guy is probably Obama. I doubt Hillary's going to be running. And so, yeah, enough said.
She should challenge him for the presidency nomination for the Democrat Party.
Nah.
Usually incumbent presidents, they win their party's nomination unopposed, right? Unless they've already done two terms.
They don't want to try and split up a score that you have, like, two Republicans who may be winning or something like that. Worst case scenario, the Green Party wins. If that happens, that'll be a miracle.
Ralph Nader.
Did not run last election, actually. Someone else ran. I can't remember who.
Anyways, do you have any other thoughts besides that you don't like Rick Perry?
That's all I'm going to say. That's all. That's it. I'm going to piss someone off so bad, and I already know five people off my hand who's already pissed at me right now.
Well, clearly you've already pissed off Rick Perry, so there we are.
Well, he doesn't.
Probably not. He probably doesn't listen to us. That would be kind of cool if he did, though. But now he probably wouldn't after this. So, good job. You just alienated Rick Perry from listening to our show, Trekkie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Anyways.
Do that.
Well, let's see here. We have, from the Republican Party, we have Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, John Huntsman, Gary Johnson, Ron Paul, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum. So, out of them, they all seem the same to me, except Michelle Bachmann, who seems rather crazier than the rest, and Ron Paul, who's
she's
more
on the same level as Sarah Palin, and no, Ron Paul goes in that. Ron Paul goes in that bracket too, because this past week on the CNN Republican debate, he was insisting that 9/11 was the fault of the U.S. government and the U.S. in general. Which, you know, doesn't that seem kind of treasonous?
Not really.
Would be if I was running the country.
Well, that's why.
This is why you aren't running the country.
If you were running the country, you'd probably arrest 90% of the people who are against you.
Yeah.
No. So that's the kind of craziness that Ron Paul has. And then you've got the kind of craziness of Michelle Bachmann, who was trying to say that Hurricane Irene and the earthquake was a symbol from God that there needs to be more fiscal restraint.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Ron Paul has his crazy ideas, but a lot of what some of what he says makes a lot of sense compared to the rest of the Republican Party. I think I'd rather have 12 Ron Pauls than what we have right now running for.
Well,
so, I mean, he's. I think to me, I think he's the lesser of the. What is it?
Nine evils.
Yes.
No. Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't. But you know what? That's all I'm going to say.
Rick Perry seems like I'm from Texas. He seems like a George Bush clone to me. Mitt Romney sounds like he's, you know, let's keep the status quo kind of guy. And the rest, you know, they just haven't done much of anything, and I don't think they have a chance. So,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
down to crazy lady, cat lady, Michelle Bachmann, and Ron Paul, who doesn't get any screen time whatsoever and then does say weird things from now and again. And then Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. So, I mean, if I was actually American and I'd be voting, then I'd either, if I was...
I'd move to Canada if I could.
Yes, because why not? I mean, we're under...
I'll move to Mexico. I'll be the richest there within 3,000 miles.
You'd also get caught up in drug wars and die. So, not that I mean all of Mexico is under drug wars, but I mean, you know.
You never did say who you'd be voting for if you were American.
If I was American, let's see here. You know, Barack Obama, I think I'm not disillusioned with him. I just think that a lot of the things that he said he was going to do, he didn't. Partially because the Republicans voting him down, but I mean, he seems like too much of a
Steve Jobs reality distortion failed thing.
Well, he seems like too much of an idealist, you know, and a lot of that stuff isn't going to happen in this modern politics, especially with the Republicans saying no, 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 no to everything. Pretty much. And, you know, who I'd want to see win the Republican Party, but, you know, I don't even know. Because I'm not sure if it would...
Romney. No.
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 I wanted Romney in 2008.
I hate
he's got a decent chance this time.
I thought you weren't going to say anything else, Tricky.
Shane knows my dislike for that white trash hick.
No, I mean, I'll illustrate you why I think he is the right one. As Kula said, there's the four choices. There's Cat Lady Blackman, Treasonous Ron Paul, Texas Rick Perry, and Moderate Mitt Romney.
No, you cannot disgrace the name of moderate by calling it Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is the status quo guy. He's not a moderate. I'd say Barack
Well, he's Obama. Moderate compared to the other ones.
He's moderate compared to the other ones, I'd say yes. But
you know what I think the sad part is that the one who may be running for presidency is going to be really determined by the Tea Party.
Oh gosh. Which is depressing.
Then again, we're not exactly having a great run of decent choices in the past 30 years anyway, so...
You know what the problem is with... I mean, I don't want to go too far off track, but the problem with the Tea Party is that they're supposed to be based off of fiscal responsibility, which is great, except that it's all their crazy, like, far, far right-wing social issues that get in the way, you know, like God is punishing us for all our sins, you know, like stop homosexuality, you know, stop all this, stop the immigration of all these aliens, you know, that sort of thing. It's all of these social issues that they get slammed on, and if they just stuck to fiscal responsibility, then they'd probably be a lot better off.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it doesn't make sense to run a country like that. But I just want to say one thing regarding to why Mitt Romney is the one that has the best chance and speaks the most sense. We know why Michelle Bachmann and Ron Paul are not the ones that speak sense. We've already been there in this question. But the thing with Mitt Romney is there was a thing that Rick Perry was asked regarding, I forget what the issue was, says that's something we'll have a discussion with later on down the road. So, and then Mitt Romney replied to that. He says, you know, now is the time to have a discussion about this. You're running to be president. You should be having that discussion now. That just seems like common sense to me and something that is a good way of tackling the issues. So that's one thing that why I like Mitt Romney.
So So shall we hit on the second part of the question really, really quick and move on?
Okay.
What was the second part of the question? Oh,
if anybody else wants to know about that, just send me a PM. Or have any thoughts on that, just send me a PM.
If you want to talk about conservative politics, Shane is the guy to go to.
Yes, he's very right-wing if you actually ever see his political scale.
Mm-hmm.
Which is somewhere...
Trekkie, when you said you had bad choices, I was going to say, what about Ronald Reagan and George Bush?
But what about save that for what later. About Ronald Reagan?
You said there haven't been any good choices for president in the past 30 years, so I was going to say, what about Ronald Reagan and George Bush?
The senior
The last one.
Ding 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 ding. Hi, Matt! Thank you. Stupid white hick.
Okay.
Senior wasn't as bad. Junior was terrible.
Internet is not a word.
Why? I don't get that.
W. Bush as a person or as a president, but I think he wasn't the smartest guy in the tool shed.
He had to be to handle the war on terror in September 11th.
Did he handle it? I don't know about that.
Yes.
But anyhow, we're going to talk about Obama's approval rating, weren't we?
Or are we like so far off track now that anybody listening to us is just listening to us ramble and me and Shane going at it and Cool is laughing?
I think it's funny that Canadians can get so riled up about American politics. We really shouldn't even care, but...
Yes, we should care, because whatever happens down there makes its way up here.
Which is also a depressing state of society as we know it right now.
Really, anyways.
The Americans
Obama's
are taking
approval
over
rating.
Our
news. It's kind of like.
What is Obama's approval rating right now, anyways?
Something like
42%. I'm assuming it's not very good. Well,
42
isn't.
42% or something?
That's about par for a guy.
42 isn't that bad, but it's not re-election territory.
No.
Well.
So,
but that doesn't mean that, you know, the 58% would rather vote for the Republicans. It's just 42% don't like Obama.
That's why I think getting somebody who is relatively civil and somewhat moderate in the sense of Republicans, like Mitt Romney, is more moderate in the sense of who the other choices are, is a good way to combat Obama.
Okay, then, shall we move on to the next question, shall we? Before before I kill Shane over the internet by sending him a virus. All right, question from Nomad. All right, dear Shane, Kula, and Trekkie, what do you think about why RuneScape has not put a full RuneScape download so you can play offline at home? And what are your opinions on vulgar and nasty names in-game? Thanks, 00. I am saved to 00. Oh, you're on the show. What's up, dude? By the way, Shane, he was the one that was PMing me about helping out the Citadel.
Okay.
So he's one of the nice guys. All right, so Shane, go first.
You can't have RuneScape being able to be a full download play game just because the way the game is made. The way RuneScape works is that it requires you to be constantly communicating with their servers in order to keep the game in sync with the rest of them. Because let's say you buy something on the Grand Exchange, you need to be able to communicate to the server. So you can't play that part offline, because then where is that whip coming from? That's the kind of thing why RuneScape can't be played offline. It needs to be played online. But in regards to the second idea of putting out a RuneScape download, you know, that's really not possible either with this, because it's Java and was always designed to be played as a Java applet, which in itself is a special kind of program. So in order for this to be able to be done, put it out as a game download, they would have to change to something else, which I don't think they would, because everything they do is based on Java. So they could package it up as a regular Java application, but that really wouldn't give them much in terms of benefits, because just look at what they've been able to do in an applet. Why port that over to an application when it can just be played in the browser right now. The only real kinds of engine changes that would need to be done with this to actually make this happen and make the game better, but would of course necessitate that they move on over to a different programming language that's not Java, is what would be needed to do that. And that might also fix the bot problems in the game, because based on the way the engine works. So I hope that covers that one.
How about I translate that to a bit smaller number of sentences? Basically, the way RuneScape works, you need to be online all the time because of how your character interacts with the world. And if, since you always have to be online, there's not much point for download.
Yeah, but
I think that covers it there.
Like they could, and because it would also make it download, but
they could make it, but there's not much point to it, you know, because it works the way it is. I mean, they already have like the downloadable RuneScape application, which you can put on your desktop and double click and it launches it, you know. But exactly. I mean, there's not really much point to even that, because it's just as easy as going into your browser and doing it that way, you know.
So Pula,
yes,
I use that, dude.
You use the RuneScape download client thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, that's good, because I used it too, so I'm not...
Oh, okay. Dissing it right now, dude.
I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying that it's just as easy as going into the application and the reason on their website. But, I mean, that's the only reason why they haven't done anything more other than just having a client that opens up to their website, is because it's really not necessary, you know? Because that's the way you have to go in anyways. And since you always have to be online, like for the economy, for fighting other players and stuff like that, and even doing quests, it has to sync with the server, there's not much point to having a downloadable client like that, you know, where you can just play it offline.
Exactly.
And that didn't end up being shorter anyways, issue. But I had to explain myself.
There's also yes, the security issue of preventing the game from becoming more bot-ridden by exposing more of the game internals, which has already happened before, which we discussed a few weeks back. So, thank you, Nomad, for that question. Second
what
part?
About your opinions on vulgar and nasty names in-game? Oh, I'm not sure what he's referring to, like player names? Doesn't Jack censor those out or whatever? Or?
No, like they censor out the bad words. Like, you can't create a name that has a bad word in it, but you can create ones that are like kind of like phonetically spell the words, and that gets through the filter. I saw one today as well, but just like that. So it still gets through. And
just so we have an idea.
I will type it into you. It was something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not exactly too bad, but I mean, I think since the game is marketed for okay, that one's worse. But I think since the game is marketed towards kids and, young teenagers,
well,
there's probably going to be a lot of immaturity in. Okay, that was even worse. Shame. Oh, the benefits of being on the show.
But also
I'm not even sure if that's racist or not. Come on, Shane. You can't just ask that.
I didn't ask anything. I'm just here listening to what you're saying about bad.
Yes,
names.
You're just listening to what I'm saying. there will always be some sort of immaturity in the game, but I think it's up to the person as a player to, you know, rise up and, you know, not be immature and, you know, bad words in their name or try to circumvent the filter and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's just a personal choice, and, you know, it's one thing I don't like about the changing name thing is that you can now change your name. I mean, if you change something inappropriate, you should have to stick with that until you're like 22 and realize geez, I know how stupid this name is. Like, remember when you created an email, when your first email, like that Hotmail or something like that, and it was like, you know, something simple, so immature. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Something like really, you know, teenagerish, and you're still having to use that same email, like years and years later. It's kind of like that, you know. But I think it's a personal choice, and you know, if you want to be vulgar and nasty,
just like the alcohol things.
Exactly. If you do it fine. I mean, just don't let it impact other people.
Alrighty then. Thank you then. I'll read the last one from Gameuverse. Hello, host of RSBNB, which is actually named RSBNB Update. Just a slight note out there to everybody. My question for you today is, which do you prefer, chemistry, biology, or physics? I personally prefer chemistry. Thanks, Gameuverse.
Well, I know what Shane's answer is. He probably knows what my answer is, but I'm not sure what Trekkie's is, so Trekkie, I'll let you go first.
Biology is what I studied anyway, more or less. Learned a lot about a human body. And I'm sure Shane's would want to do quantum physics with vector calculus. He probably does vector calculus just for fun.
All right, so...
Do vector calculus just for fun.
Trolla?
Trolla. Like that. Well, I have to say, because I did chemistry, biology, and physics in high school, I dropped physics because I knew it was too much math for me, too much equations, and everything was constant. There seemed to be nothing really new to the game. I know how it explains how the world works and everything, and that we couldn't live without physics. I still preferred chemistry and biology, though. I think biology had this slight nod ahead because it explained how we work and how humans worked and you know, how all the different parts in our body work. You know, it kind of makes you think, like, how are we able to function, like, on our own? But that's getting into philosophy, of course. You know, I'm more into liberal arts than lab sciences, so there we are. But that's what I liked, biology and chemistry.
All right. And for me, physics, of course. Personally, there's this good quote, all science is either physics or stamp collecting.
And
basically, that just means that without physics, there'd be nothing, because everything down to the way atoms work at the quantum level resorts to physics. And without that, there would be no creation, no nothing. And with physics, you can also determine the way the universe was created. So, yeah, physics is definitely...
So physics explains everything except for stamp collecting.
Yes, it does. Yes.
So what does explain stamp collecting then?
The value of the stamps.
Licking a piece of paper and the way glue is made.
Well, isn't that a matter of physics?
Why are we doing this?
The amount of force applied to the stamp pressing directly onto the page is equal to 300 newtons.
Come on.
I'm glad I remember some of this.
I don't.
300 newtons, that's right. 300 newtons.
Well, I'm guessing so. I think that was right.
Been a while.
Anyways. Yes, so there's your answers there. And I don't know, you take whichever one you want, but I think that's it for questions. Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, we could debate science, we could debate offensive names, we could debate politics, we could debate alcohol, we could debate what kind of sandwich is the best in the questions period. So send your questions in to questions@rsbnb.com if you've got an audio question, or forward them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-57-BNB, 571-572-2632. And of course, text questions are always accepted as well in the questions topic.
And don't make them over 9,000 hours either.
Yes, Sorensen, I'll be having a chat with you regarding future questions. We like your questions.
Sorensen, see me after class.
All right, so let's move on to tech news. first on the list. Yes. IBM's Watson is set to tackle the health insurance.
Yeah, I'm sure we all remember Watson from back in February on Jeopardy.
Yeah, where
he beat Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter.
At least Ken Jennings is Brad Rutter, though.
So basically what's going to be happening with Watson is they're going to be using the knowledge base that Watson does have, combining that with the patient's history and symptoms, and suggesting treatments for the patient. Once implemented, data will be combined from the three sources I just mentioned, the medical knowledge that Watson already possesses, field of cancer facilities, medical centers, and oncology practices. Will all be using Watson to further their own operations. So there is a use for a supercomputer that can play Jeopardy. Now, the question with this is, when does this become mainstream relating to all other fields of computing relating to this supercomputer kind of thing? When will this appear in the other medical fields? What do you guys think?
Well, it's hard to know, you know. Because they have the computers going through, you know, actually doing the medical procedures, you know. And it's kind of funny.
Which I think is a great thing. Personally, I trust a machine doing a medical procedure rather than a real doctor.
But what I think is that if, you know, we rely on computers for so long, we're going to end up with people who rely on computers solely for diagnosis and not using their own professional judgment too.
What's wrong with that? Maybe this is the first step to creating like a EMH type program, not necessarily a hologram, but an actual thing that can be run and just tell a doctor or a nurse what kind of diagnosis to apply.
Again, when the power goes out.
And when Armageddon occurs and every electronic that we used is that we took for granted is completely destroyed and we're stuck to using herbal remedies.
Which kind of relates to my pick.
Yeah, so this is going to be happening. And personally, I think this is a victory showing that such a computer program is indeed possible and has potential to influence the way the world works. So this is just one thing, but it could be applied to numerous other things. I mean, just imagine if you could have a database of an entire country and profile people and whatnot, find out who all the sex offenders are going to be, find out who all the murderers are going to be, find out who all the terrorists are going to be, and arrest them before they commit their crimes.
That sounds like Bourne Identity.
No, it's not Bourne Identity.
Sure sounds like it. Okay, so move on to the second part.
Seems like good publicity for IBM, really.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, IBM used to make personal computers, but this is what IBM does now, and that's perfectly fine. So IBM is still relevant in this day and age.
Clearly.
Yes. So, you guys know what Instagram is?
Run it down for anyone who doesn't. Not saying that I don't.
Instagram is a little iPhone photo application that puts little filters on your pictures. Then you share your pictures on the Instagram website, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, a whole slew of other places. So basically what YouTube has done is they've taken Instagram for photos and made Instagram for videos by releasing a web-based video editing suite that allows people to change the way add filters to photos like black and white, sepia, cartoonify, that kind of thing, vignettes, bump up the color saturation, change the darkness, change the lightness of everything, and just make the videos pop out a bit. And they got a demo video here of how the thing works. So yes, YouTube.
Okay.
And you know, the important thing about this is that with YouTube releasing this kind of thing, it's one step further to not requiring you to sit down at a desktop computer and edit a video, pull out pull out iMovie or something like that and just edit. So it's really just a quick way of putting videos together. Trekkie, you got anything on this?
Nope. Only time I even dab in that stuff is when I'm doing a, you know, little short video that I upload to YouTube, and that's really just to, you know, set up fraps.
Okay.
Well, with YouTube, with me, I only use it to watch videos. I never upload any YouTube videos.
Today, you can make your YouTube video shine with just a few easy clicks. You can quickly rotate your videos, stabilize shaky footage, and adjust the brightness levels, saturation, and color temperatures to make your videos really pop. If you're hoping to add a bit of style to a video, just click on the Effects tab and choose a theme ranging from old-fashioned to cartoon. You can now use YouTube not only to store your videos, but also to make them look better. We hope you enjoy.
So that should be out to everybody, because they said earlier in the week they were rolling it out to everybody globally across the course of the day. So that's that. Last piece of tech news is Windows 8. The Windows 8 developer preview has been released. So if you're at all interested in the future of Windows 8, you could take a download and see what Windows 8 is looking like. But let's be clear here that this is not a beta. It's just a developer preview, so it's going to be crashy. You don't want to rely on it for anything. It's just a way to see what's going on with Windows and maybe do a little bit of development for it. So
it doesn't seem like that long ago that Windows 7 was out.
Yep, Windows 7 was released in 2009, and they're going for every 2 years, roughly. Yeah, every 2 years until they release the next one in developer preview format, so 2.5 years or so.
Vista was early 2007.
Yep. And XP was 2001.
That was a long time ago.
In a galaxy far, 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 far away.
That's the third time you said that this episode, Trekkie.
You actually can't track.
Yes.
So let's just say that that's how things have been progressing with Windows, and you know, Windows 8 is going to be a single unified version of the operating system that's going to run on both the desktop and tablets. So that's going to be interesting how that works. Lots of new technology coming down the pipe, like we mentioned last week. Paul mentioned regarding the fast boot up, which is indeed true. So that's there. And of course, as we get closer to release, we will see other things start to take shape. But right now, it's seeming as though it's primarily focused on performance and evolving Windows as an operating system, which is a good thing. So
now we know Microsoft's previous, you know, track record with operating systems and how the best one is every second one. You know,
yeah. So that would mean that Windows 8 is going to be a bit of a disaster, then, doesn't it?
Supposedly, and especially so if they are going to try too many new things, you know. But we'll see how it turns out. And Paul seems to think it looks pretty good, so I'll trust his judgment.
Yep. The only thing that's going to be really going to come down to it is when it starts shipping, what's the compatibility going to be like? Is it going to be the same as Windows 7 was, or is it going to be just as bad as Vista? Well, probably nothing will be just as bad as Vista, but you know, it,
Millennium Edition. Forward. I think you've forgotten.
Yes, that one was pretty horrible too. So we are given past track record. This could be a bad version of Windows, but we'll see. Anyways, so that's that. Moving on to other things. September Skill of the Month update, the Fletching Skill of the Month.
My God, is it ever interesting.
Yeah, it is, because we had bonus XP weekend last week, and if you look between the 9th through the 12th there, you can see the amount of gains that were made. Like, we can see that on the 9th, Fudge got at least 1.5 million experience. So, but at any rate, we'll run down the top three right now. First up is the Lion 777 with 8.6 million experience gained. Second is Josh with 7.5 million experience gained. And third is Fudge with 6 million XP gained. Looks like Mastopane 1 is in fourth with 5.7 million, and looks like Tim has failed to take number 1 like he was planning to with 4.3 million XP gained.
Well, he took it for one day, but then he hasn't really done much since, so there we are.
Yep.
It's still a race for anyone to get, I mean, even more so than usual. I mean, sometimes we say anyone can win it, and it's only a two-horse race, but I mean, this time, anyone can win it.
Yeah, it's still possible. There's not like a 10 million experience gap, so definitely still possible, and the month is only half over.
Mm-hmm. So give it a shot. Alrighty. And for the seven or six people that have not gotten XP yet, get some.
Yes, please do get some. Because everybody should get some XP, because we got to remember that at the end of the year, we do something called Skill of the Year, which whoever gains the most experience in all Skill of the Month competitions will win.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyways, achievements of the week. First up, Sorensen, 5799 attack just earlier today. I was notified of.
And Snitchblade with 99 fletching earlier yesterday on September 15th.
And, so, Drecky, last one.
And we have Fire Mana with 99 thieving on September 9th. So congratulations to you, to all three of you. And go get another 99 skill and make Mike jealous.
Why would that make Mike jealous? He doesn't want any 99s yet.
He should have. He's been playing way too long to even have one. Even you have one. You have what,
have
two
seven.
Or three?
Kala doesn't have any 99s.
No, but then again, I've been playing a lot less. And I've only had 1 month of members, so I mean, there we are.
You should turn on greater demons in the wilderness. Just three hours.
Okay. So, you have a pick for us today.
I certainly do, and while I can say the pick is from the great Fallout series from Bethesda Softworks, the pick I'm going to include is Fallout 3, the third installation in this series, and that was the first that was taken over by Bethesda, and basically, not to spoil the story too much, but you're in a post-apocalyptic world where a nuclear detonation has happened all over the world, and you are in these things called vaults, which are basically nuclear fallout shelters, and society has sustained in these shelters, and I don't want to spoil the first 2 hours because it really is quite cool, but basically there's an event that happens that forces you out into the world, and basically you're in the ruins of Washington, D.C. and nearby Virginia and, you know, some of the outlying areas and like the farmlands and what sort of thing, and I think the game design is just beautiful. It's like an action shooter with RPG elements in it, and there's just so much stuff to explore. And I've logged in, I think, 105 hours, and that's just the main game for me. And that's not including any DLC so far. So, I mean, it's a great game, and if you like
shooters...
You're
still not finished yet?
No, I've finished the main part of the game. I just haven't done any of the DLC. So, if you're at all interested in shooters, and it's a very good one, and I think I picked it up during the Steam Summer Sale for... I think it was $9 or $15 or something like that, but it was a really good price, and right now I believe it's on the Steam store for, let's see what the price is. I think it's $19.99. It's $29.99, but it's still a pretty good price. But it's good to wait until the sales to get it on sale. But it's a really good shooter, and if you do enjoy shooters, go for it. It's a great game. And it's good to play that one before the newest one, Fall of New Vegas, to see if you want to play that one. It's always good to try the older one first, you know? But Fallout New Vegas came out in 2010, and it's also a very great game. It's fixed a lot of the things that were wrong in Fallout 3, and I think it's also a great game, and I'm just making my way through that one. So that is my pick, Fallout 3. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Okay, then. I don't think I'll be playing that anytime soon, because I got lots of other games that need to be played first, but...
Like
cheap games are always a good deal.
StarCraft 2?
No. Try Grand Theft Auto single player first.
I still want to get him into Mass Effect. Oh. I think you'd really enjoy it. What do you think, Trekkie? Trekkie?
Say that. What happened? Sorry, grandmother came in.
I said I'd like to get Shane into Mass Effect. I think you'd really like it.
Nah. You forget the Fox News story, don't you?
No.
You forgot all about that, huh? Didn't you, Makula? And let's face it, when it comes to that kind of PG-13 stuff...
You could go through the whole game without even once doing that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to wrap this up now that we're on to that subject. So, Trekkie, what have you been doing?
Me? Besides doing that quest with you, I've been trying to get me a vine whip. Been there for 3 days straight. Not a damn thing.
Talk to a Bulbasaur. He'll give you one. Oh, come on. You don't
I got it. I would rather have a razor leaf. At least I can start cutting all those branches to get like massive amounts of fire making wood cutting levels.
But then you'd have to, you know, rake up all the leaves.
Oh, whirlwind attack.
All right, so, and of course you StarCraft 2, of course, which you did mention you were trying to get into gold for that.
I'm just trying to get out of gold.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm trying to get into diamonds in 4v4. I'm like rank 3 on my platinum for random 4v4. I just can't get over that bend, and it's driving me nuts. Although I had a really nice game last night in 1v1 as a Protoss versus Protoss. My APM went to 124. I was like, oh, wow.
I hit 160 in one game.
Oh, well, now we're just bragging. I think I got up to 40 once.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Kula, that higher APM just also means you spam like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay
then.
Kula?
Well, I've been working a lot. I've been just starting full-time this September now that all the kids are back to school, so I'm saving up for money for next year's school so I can go back to post-secondary next year. Other than that, I haven't really been doing too much. Well, like I said, I've been trying to play Fallout New Vegas. And also tried to get into Age of Empires Online, but that didn't really work out too well. It's a good casual thing. You can pick it up and, you know, play it for a little while and then leave it again. Other than that, not too much. I don't really have an exciting life.
Yeah, we're all boring people.
I get the weekend off.
Yeah,
so
same
I'm
here.
Hoping to do something. How about you, Shane?
Same as you. Just really not that much interesting. Did the quest? I did get 95 prayer on RuneScape,
which is totally awesome.
And I was hearing dinging in my head from the altars for 2 days after that. Because, you know, when you worship the bones or ashes on that altar, you hear the ding, ding. But aside from that, StarCraft II, planning the next project, and enjoying the Google Plus API. They finally released that, so I've been doing a bit of planning in regards to that, too. So that's pretty much it. Anybody else have anything before we wrap this up?
Please, people, cut wood at the Citadel. We already made a decision. If no one cuts it this week, we're just going to get rid of it and, or, you know, not do anything with it. And honestly, this is for you.
Yeah, force the downgrade.
If we can actually get this up, we actually can do more stuff there. But we're stuck on level two. And no, and quite frankly, it's been what? Me, Shane, Mike, and like maybe two or three other people, maybe six if we're lucky, who's been cutting at Citadel. And we have a clan chat of 60 people. Guys, you're listening. Help a brother out. You know,
and if you want to join to help out, just contact myself or Trekkie and Game, and we'll gladly do that. You could probably send me a PM. That'd be the easiest way to get me to add you. I don't know, Trekkie, can they just add you in Game on your name to come for an invite?
I almost always keep my friend chat on, so anybody can message me almost any time.
Okay, and that's J1, J2, J3. Well, that being said, it's been another episode of RSBNB Update, and we will see you guys all next week again. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys. Hope you enjoy the show. I'll see you next time I'm on.